translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord Brahma, Your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and the Brahmins. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence and good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. Purport. In this verse, the words Dvija Gavam Parameshtam indicate the most exalted position of the Brahmanas and Brahminical culture and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of the Brahmins are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing Brahminical culture and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. Being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all the demigods were extremely disturbed. Hiranyakashipu was a well-known demon, and the demigods knew that if demons and rakshasas were to occupy the supreme post, then Brahminical culture and protection of cows would come to an end. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, the original proprietor of everything is Lord Krishna. Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. The Lord therefore knows particularly well how to develop the material condition of the living entities within this material world. In every universe there is one Brahma engaged on behalf of Lord Krishna, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Teni Brahma Vidhaya Adi Kavaye. The principal creator in each Brahmanda is Lord Brahma, who imparts Vedic knowledge to his disciples and sons. On every planet, the king or supreme controller must be a representative of Brahma. Therefore, if a rakshasa or demon were situated in Brahma's post, then the entire arrangement of the universe, especially the protection of the Brahminical culture and cows, would be ruined. All the demigods anticipated this danger, and therefore they went to request Lord Brahma to take immediate steps to thwart Hiranyakashipu's plan. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, but Krishna saved him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Madhu Kaitava Hantri. Now again, Hiranyakashipu was trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, is sometimes in danger. Nonetheless, until the time of Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Until the time of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained this ambition. The word bhujjayi means for increasing opulence, and the word shreyase refers to ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear and one is freed from material bondage. If one is situated in an opulent position in spiritual advancement, his opulence never decreases. Therefore, such a spiritual benediction is called bhuti or vibhuti. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10:41. Yad yad vibhuti mat satbhang mamate jong shasambhavam. If a devotee advances in spiritual consciousness and thus becomes materially opulent also, his position is a special gift from the Lord. Such opulence is never to be considered material. At the present, especially on this planet Earth, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the Rakshasas and demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there is no protection of Brahminical culture and cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by demons and rakshasas. End of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kali Yuga. Well, it's nice to be back here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, Srila Prabhupada's first cow protection program in Europe. And now, of course, we see the culture, at least the protection of cows, is becoming a major part of the project here, which has brought unlimited auspiciousness and benefit, not only to the community here, but to the whole of the population of this country. It's cow protection is, probably speaking, amongst all the instructions that Prabhupada made clear to us, one of the most under or least emphasized in our movement, and probably here now we're putting some energy in, but in many places there's hardly any energy being put there. Even we have farms and properties, so on. And the cows are, unfortunate to say, many of them are like, they're already in the stage of vanaprastha, if you call it that. And there's no new ones coming up. Many farms are like that, I've seen. There's only one or two cows milking and no one ploughing. This is not culture. This is not Krishna consciousness, really speaking. Of course, it's not that we don't want, it's just somehow or another. I suppose it is that we don't want in one way, but on the other side, it's that we have to admit that we're short of the mark. On that side, which is essential, the cow is more dear to Krishna than the Brahmin. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how Krishna speaking to someone, I don't know who to, but he states there that of all the different living entities, the cow and the Brahmins are the most dear to him, but of the two, the cow is most dear. So the protection and service of cows and bulls is practically the topmost practical activity of human society. It's to develop the finer qualities of human life, to perform sacrifice for Vishnu, to create the mode of goodness, to please Krishna, and so on. The protection of cows and bulls is absolutely required. Otherwise, there's no real human society. A human society which allows the killing of cows is not a human society. It's a society of the Rakshasas, as Prabhupada says here. Modern-day society is ruled by Rakshasas. demons, rakshasas. And we're living in that society somehow or another. We're able to carry on here, mercy of Krishna. Although you've had experience of the nature of the rakshasas here, how they have no respect for the protection of cows. And on the other side, or on the other side, but the other aspect here, the Brahmins, they call the protection of Brahminical culture, or the development of Brahminical culture, is not something which is high priority in modern education. It's not really there at all. Even in India, it's becoming less and less encouraged. Now they want the Western education, which is basically the education of the demons. Western education has been developed to further the demoniac purposes of Kali Yuga, specifically designed for that, so that people become demoniac and godless, more or less. And Brahminical culture is not at all facilitated or encouraged in general. So on both of these fronts, we have a great responsibility. This is the preaching front. Distributing books, Harinam, Prasad distribution, these are all general processes of trying to change people's consciousness. But if the consciousness is actually changing, then we will see that society will be a society where cow protection is given top priority, and where Brahminical culture is the highest culture in society. This is a sign that the consciousness is changing, and if we're not ourselves conscious of that or developing that, then it is a sign that our consciousness has not changed very much, if at all, from the materialistic conditioning which we've been brought up in, most of us. This is a sign that we realize how important this is in this world, these two aspects of human society, without which it is not human society at all. So here at Bhaktivedanta Manashila Prabhupada, in our whole society, of course, he put primary emphasis on these two things, to develop a Brahminical culture. Our standards, for instance, for initiation are to try to bring up a sector of society who are Brahminical. It's not just materially qualified, that will not do, that will not help society. We have to be Brahminical. At least the head has to be Brahminical to develop the qualities of the Brahmins, cultivate, and the activities of the Brahmins, and Brahmins have to be maintained. Society is not maintaining Brahmins, again, it's not a human society. And in our own Krishna consciousness movement too, those who are Brahminical are providing the greatest service to society, helping to guide people out of this wretched world and to awaken us to our relationship with Krishna. If they're not encouraged, facilitated and protected, then we're in a very sorry state. It's the only hope for human society. The cows and the Brahmins, absolutely required. Everyone else is also important, but without those two in place, nothing will go in the right direction. Everything will go backwards, downwards towards hell. So this is it. Head must be there, otherwise it will fall over. The society will fall down, even the ISKCON, whatever you want to call it, will fall down without these two activities being emphasized. Cow protection and Brahminical culture. Most essential. So here we have to really understand that living in the temple, this ashram, is really a place for cultivating Brahminical. Of course, there are other activities going on in the community, no doubt, and that's fine. But as far as the temple is concerned, it's particularly a place where the mood of the Brahminical culture should be prominent. Everyone's welcome, everyone can serve, obviously, but there must be a Brahminical culture which is inspiring, guiding, society and in guiding everybody, no matter who they are, to perform their sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. This is the Brahmin's duty, to preach. Preaching is not just verbal. Preaching is to encourage and inspire and guide others how they can do what they're doing, be what they are, for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. What is it, Mahaprasadam has just come off the altar or something? Suddenly, a rush of devotees in that direction. This is Brahminical culture. When the prasadam comes, there's an avalanche, devotees deluge. And out the way, get those guests out of here. No, in this Brahminical culture, selflessness, one is always thinking of the welfare of others. How we can help others to become Krishna conscious, even the demons. Well, the demons are demonic mentality, it's not that we're seeing them as these wretched demons in one sense, but no, in another sense, how to deliver them. So this Brahminical culture of preaching, how to engage everyone, and including ourselves, our demoniac tendencies may still be there, how to engage everything in Krishna's service, how to connect everyone with Krishna. So many wonderful ways, especially in our community of devotees. We have so much work to do. How to try to, we need the Brahminical head, broad-mindedness, to see how everything and everybody is related to Krishna. So I'm not going to go on long this morning, or rather we have some discussion and questions on this very important topic, how the demigods were very concerned, extremely concerned with the state of affairs which may take place due to the presence of Hiranyakashipu. Prabhupada says nowadays more or less all the leaders are like of the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. They see themselves as the controllers and they don't see themselves as the representatives of Brahma or of Krishna, and thus they are exploiting the citizens, and the purpose of human life is being thwarted by their misleading in this age of Kali particularly. So we're right in the midst of it, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada we're been given a chance to turn the tide. We have to play our part, assisting Prabhupada in spreading Krishna consciousness, becoming Krishna conscious, being serious about the responsibility. Human life is a life of responsibility. Be responsible. How we behave, how we deal, everything is important. It's not just speaking some philosophy, but our very dealings amongst each other, our dealings with the people in general, our dealings with Krishna's energy, our dealings, of course, in relationship with Krishna when we chant the holy names, etc. Everything is very important. And we should develop the right attitude in relating to everybody and everything around us. And the Brahman, of course, relates with everything in the mode of goodness. So we have to also, at least that much, and then come to the spiritual plane, treat everything properly in relationship with Krishna. This is preaching. Not just speaking some philosophy and doing something else. When people come to the temple, they should see Brahminical culture, which is included in Vaishnava culture. They should see it. Now when they come to the temple, here's, well, everything's relative and everything could be improved, but a better than usual example here at the manor of cleanliness and good behavior and so on. But we can always improve. And we can always improve the atmosphere by more chanting and hearing about Krishna. I'm sure we can all improve there too. Okay, any questions?
Maharaj,
Does the age of Kali... What do you mean exactly? Are you referring to something specific here? Pardon? Sorry? Maha. Maharaj Yudhisthira. Able to counteract the influence. Yes, it's possible. Of course it is. And that's the... In one sense, that's... can say that's our business, no doubt. We're chanting Hare Krishna and establishing Krishna consciousness to the best we can. It certainly is counteracting the influence of Kali. We just have to be careful that we don't become, you know, influenced by Kali, which often happens in our own ranks. There's always that risk is there. Even in our own leadership, sometimes we've seen. Now, Kali isn't just eating meat, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, and so on. That's not the only aspect of Kali. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai. Oh, Kripa Moya Prabhu is behind the curtains there. I wondered who the Brahmin was. I could see somebody, I couldn't see who it was. He's so absorbed in his deity worship, he doesn't hear. So, and we have to be very careful. Kali Yuga doesn't just come in the form of... What does Hiranya mean? Gold. How does Kali really enter? Gold standardization. And this greed and... You know, and also the pride of the Brahmins. This is, Kali comes in through the false monetary system. We're too attached to money and, you know, wealth and things like this. Amazing. That's a new addition to the manor. What does that mean? Prasadam time or something? What is that? Or what was that? Huh? Oh, it's a ringtone. I saw this. The new Houses of Parliament upstairs or something. Because the leaders of our society, and Prabhupada said if you want to become a spiritual leader, material leader you can come by some material qualification, but spiritual leader requires attentive hearing and chanting. Unless we hear and chant very carefully, then we cannot be a spiritual leader. So this Kali Yuga comes in through the this pride. As Sringi, the son of the Kaushik Rishi, became very proud and cursed Maharaj Prakriti. So this is one way that, especially that the influence of Kali will creep in, even in our own lives, through pride. And also this, you can say, over-dependence upon the artificial monetary system and making that a practical objective of our lives. We can't avoid it. We have to live in this world. But that's not our goal. We always have to remember that that belongs to Krishna. And we just try to utilize it in Krishna's service and not in my service or our service. Not take more than required. Ishavasyami dan sarvam. Yat kincha jagacham jagat. Tena chuk tena bunjitika magada kashya svidnam. We must not take more than our quota. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. But when there's a little pride or a little greed or attachment, very careful. Kali may start to enter in and even influence devotees to act selfishly. And not for the real welfare of others or the service of Krishna. So we have to be careful. So we're surrounded by the influences of Kali. We still have the, you can say, the remnants or the leftovers of our being in a very Kali Yuga environment. And we have to be careful. Very careful. Be very careful in our chanting of the Maha Mantra especially. And hearing the Bhagavatam, serving the Vaishnavas, protect ourselves from becoming overwhelmed, become humble. Anything else? So our business is to counteract that influence, no doubt, but that we have to follow properly. If we ourselves get sick, there's nothing we can do. Yes, Dianatai. Sins of commission and sins of omission.
Meaning that you can do some sinful activity yourself, and then the other thing is that you may see something sinful going on, and then you're in a position to actually correct it, but then out of laziness or
certainly are.
It seems that in terms of religion and culture, these are two phenomena that can really undermine religion and culture.
They certainly can. Hare Krishna, welcome. You just arrived. You made it. Yeah. Wow. So, are you maybe just making a comment or discussion point?
And
standing back. Yes, it can happen. Well, that applies on every level. In Prabhupada, we have to take shelter at the example of Prabhupada, for one. There's no doubt, we can look at that in different ways, of course. And sometimes you try to sincerely try to give some direction, advice, but the recipient doesn't take it in a favorable way, and maybe they give you an appointment with the doctor or something like that. It can be good for humbling us. We can take it like that. I mean, that's ideal from our point of view, not from theirs, but though we take it as Krishna's mercy, we just try to do our duty, irrelevant of the results. That's a Narshita Karma Palam Karyam Karma Karudhya Sa Sanyasi Chiyogam Chan Niragriyana Chakriyaha. That this is the real renunciation, this is the real position of a Brahmin. He's not just in it for the result at all. It's not a Brahmin. He performs his duty, whether or not the other party is particularly reciprocal or not. He doesn't compromise as such. So that's one thing. And we can take shelter of the example of Srila Prabhupada. Naturally, even in the field of preaching in public, you may find, now it's in this country it's much more, you can say, favorable or reciprocal than it's ever been, to be honest. Especially Harinam Sankirtan, and nowadays it's almost the people that even like it, practically. And you were saying how you're meeting so many nice people on book distribution now. Well, if you go back, turn the clock back 40 years ago in this country, 1970, we started going to Harinam in 71, but I don't know, 70, but 71, probably not much difference. If you got one person to say anything favorable about the Harinam in a day, it was like a big topic of conversation. The topics were, you know, how much spit you got on your face, how many bruises you had on your legs, how many times you got arrested, you know, how many swear words people, threw at you, how many stones or bits of whatever it is they threw at you. That was a common experience in this country. Common, very common. And blasphemy and so many things, which you don't get much of now. People are whatever. Maybe they're more dull, I don't know. But no, they seem to be more inclined to the Harinam now than they were before. But we could have given up very easily. I mean, the first day I went out on Harinam, I only lasted up to Marble Arch. I thought, this is too much. I was gone. You know, the things that happened along Marble, along Oxford Street, I was still a hippie. And I thought, you know, this isn't my cup of tea. And I was gone. The devotees were going up and down. What to speak of the weather and the so many other things which he tolerated. So, you know, Prabhupada's inspiration, Krishna's reciprocation. If you turn a blind eye, Krishna will turn a blind eye to you. You know, when things are not the way Krishna would like them, people are suffering, we have the medicine, we don't deliver it. They may not take it, they may not want it, but at least we have to try to offer it. If in the temple things are... Of course one has to also be careful that we don't assume that we know better, that now I'm the authority. But according to one's position, if one doesn't act properly to adjust things for the pleasure of Krishna, then one is, as you say, one is implicated. One has to pay the consequences. It may be just in the form of some what's called anotapa. It's an internal kind of fever, suffering. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or should I have done it? You know, you're kind of like disturbed or something. Or it may be even more severe, depending on the position of one's responsibility. But one should, if things are in a mode of ignorance, laziness comes in, and so on, it's not favorable. We're here, and actually, honestly speaking, persons who are in the mode of ignorance should be practicing Krishna consciousness in a different environment, not in the ashram. The ashram is not for cultivation or facilitating of the mode of ignorance. It's for cultivating the mode of goodness. So those things should not be there. There's no room, really, for untidiness, uncleanliness, misbehavior, loose language. There's really no position or place for these mode of ignorance and lower mode influenced by passion in the ashram. Not really. Of course, we're conditioned, so it does come up, but we have to be humble and accept this is not the place for it. That can be done somewhere else, but not in the ashram. And the temple should be clean, very clean. And you know this. Regulation and so on. Whatever is practically applicable for the mode of goodness should be seen in the temple, at least. And those who are supposedly Brahmins, their homes should be like that. Their lives should be like that. This is the example that is required. And if those in that responsible position of Brahmins turn a blind eye, then what to say? They're not performing their duty. They're going against the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, which is based on the principle of performing one's duty for Krishna. We have to know what is our duty and act accordingly. It's not everyone's duty necessary to point that out. But if we're brahminical, or supposed to be, then it is our duty. And if you're a kshatriya, you're meant to facilitate the Brahmins to, you know, perform their duties. Brahmins have a duty to, in a different way, you can say, point the same thing out to one who is a Vaishya or Shudra, that they have to be performing their duty. It'll be different. The details will be different, but the principle is the same. So unless we have Brahmins, it won't work, because you can't. Otherwise, you'll point the same thing out to everyone, and that won't work. Everyone's different. In the temple, the standard may not be the same as it will be in the farm or in wherever. Nowadays you have factory and this and that. Maybe different. So we need Brahmins. And if they're not doing that duty, then society is lost. Lost. Brahmin is not someone who just sits around giving a class and chanting Hare Krishna. He's very concerned for society. He is completely concerned for the welfare of others. How to help them, to come, not to make everyone like Brahmin necessarily, but how to help everyone to become Krishna conscious. this is a Brahmin, thinking of the welfare of others, not just himself or his own group. And if he's not really a Brahmin. He's something else. Okay, we have to finish there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.